That is a security that no man, woman, or child can ever lose from any entity in this world. We're going to be back in John chapter 21 now, if you will. And John chapter 21, we've already stood for our reading tonight. No need to stand again. But we're going to reread these verses and get into this message tonight. I hope and pray that it's a blessing to you. It's already been a blessing to me, spending the time in the past week. It's been on my heart for about 4 or 5 weeks now. But the Bible says in John chapter 21, looking at verse 15, says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." I want to speak to you tonight on the topic of what's love got to do with it. And I know that may be a quite carnal title tonight to a sermon, given I believe it was actually a Tina Turner song. I don't even know, maybe wrong on that, but nonetheless, I'm not trying to, you know, flush all the spirit out of here tonight, but that's the question that I want us to ask. And we have a bit of a situation here in John 21, in the verses that we just read. You know, at face value, when you read these verses, the conversation, in all fairness, doesn't appear to be really too convicting. Hey, do you love me more than you love these? Yeah, you know I love you. But three times the Lord had asked this question to Peter, and verse 17 tells us that he was grieved. He said he was grieved because third time he said, "Lovest thou me?" But there's a little bit of backstory that we're going to have to visit here tonight. And, you know, unlike most of my sermons, which are typically expository, tonight is more of a topical sermon. We're going to bounce around the scriptures. I've made it easy for you. It's all on the screen tonight. You don't have to work. The church this morning, they had to work and labor. I had them turning left and right. And but I want you to understand, in the Greek language, guys, and again, I'm not trying to Greek your Bible. Don't take that wrong. We have a perfect holy scripture right here. You don't need Greek to know what the scripture says. But as you dig a little bit deeper, we can have some of the understanding here that will really come to life. There's three types of words used for love in the Greek language. One of the words is eros, which is a love that would be, say, between a husband and a wife. It's an intimate, a passionate type of love. And just to let you know, that word is never in the Bible. That word was never used. And the second word that is common in the Word of God is phileo, which is a, you know, phileo is it's a love for friends. It's one that you would have one for another, like I really like you a whole lot, you know, or, you know, technically the word means sanctioned or approved or to be quite fond of. Okay, that's what that phileo love means. And then there's the other word, agapeo love, or agape love, as we would say. This is the sacrificial love. This is the love that that the Lord has for us. This is the same word, agapeo, that's translated in 1 Corinthians 13 into charity, where Paul says that of faith, hope, and charity, charity is above and beyond all of those things. It's the same word that the Lord used in John 15, 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. So it is a sacrificial love, is that agapeo love. Now in this conversation in John 21, both words are used. Remember, eros is never in the Holy Scriptures. And you may wonder why these two different words are used there. It goes back to an event where Peter himself allowed his person to get the best of him. And so we're going to end up back in John 21 tonight when we get to the closing of our sermon. And we're going to address the different usages of these words. But for the time being, I want us to look in Mark chapter 1. And I want us to see Peter's promotion to start out with. Peter's promotion. Now, I'm going to tell you this evening. And I want us all to get a clear understanding. There are some people in our world today who cannot handle promotion. They're not cut out for it. No matter what you invest in them, no matter what you give, praise, lift up, exalt, there are certain people who either have a lazy mind or a limited mind. I don't mean stupid or anything like that. I just mean they're limited in what they can handle, and they cannot handle promotion. They can't handle praise. They just can't. There's just some people that are like that in our society, that no matter what you want for them, if you promote them, they're going to abuse that situation, or they're going to run into the ground. One of the two we find. So in Mark chapter 1, this is what we find here, an event that occurs, and I want you to pay close attention. So this is the calling of Peter and his brother. Mark chapter 1, verses 16 and 18 says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." Now, when Peter and his brother were called, they did the right thing. They were called. Jesus said, "Come with me, follow me." They left off their fishing. They left off their old life. They left off their old ways. They left off their old works. And they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we go forward a few chapters in the book of Mark. And this is the next thing that we find in Mark in chapter 3. Now pay attention here. And we're going to see a pattern of this promotion. The calling wasn't necessarily the promotion. Because in Mark chapter 3, verse 13 through 16, the Bible says, "And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him who he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach." Verse 15 says, "And to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils." Verse 16 says, "And Simon, he," speaking of Jesus, "surnamed Peter." Okay, Simon Peter, right? The Lord gave him that name, Peter. All right. Now, he only surnamed two other men, the brothers James and John, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which means the sons of thunder. And you guys have heard my love for two guys that are called the sons of thunder. That's the guys you want on your team. I absolutely love that. Amen. But the 12 were ordained, but only three were given these surnames. So if you want to find an inner circle of the Lord Jesus Christ out of the 12 disciples, it is those threes. It's Peter, James, and John. It was Peter, James, and John who went up to the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Peter, James, and John who went to the time of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane when the Lord said, "Tarry ye here for a while." He said, "Stay awake." Did it three times, and they all three fell asleep. But this was his inner circle, if you will. Peter had left his old life. No more fishing business, no more none of those things. And the Lord gave him a name of promotion. The word Simon, the title Simon, means pebble, or actually little pebble. But the word Peter, the name Peter, comes from the Greek word petros, which means rock or stone. So we find that Peter is promoted here from this little pebble to this rock or this stone. Peter was part of the inner three, guys. We know this. So he was promoted. All right. So how does he handle that? Not only was Peter promoted, but you're going to find that Peter receives in the future a higher position than they all. And I want to bring your attention to this and, you know, to something that had happened. Matthew 16 is one of my favorite events of all times in the life of Jesus Christ, or in Caesarea Philippi. And this is where he proclaims that that he's going to build his church upon himself and the gates of hell. He was referring to the false religions of the world as he was stood before the temple of Pan that was behind him. And he said that he shall not prevail against it, meaning the church. So 2 weeks prior to Jesus Christ's arrest, this is what we find, Matthew 16, verses 13 and 19. It says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered, and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. He said, For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter upon this rock." Now, speaking of himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee," not everyone, "unto thee, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So the rock we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is built upon Jesus Christ, his foundation. But what a blessed compliment for the Lord to say unto Peter that you didn't come up with this. This was in your mind the true confession of who I am. But my Father in heaven has bore witness with your heart to let you know that I am the Christ, that I am the Messiah, that I am the Son of the living God. What a blessing it is to you, Peter. He says, and by the way, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. No one else was to receive those keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now, consequently, this is because he becomes the minister unto the saved Jews later on with the churches, but that's neither here nor there for our sermon right now. So we're looking at position, my friend, with Peter. We're looking at promotion, then position. And this is what happens. And I want you to notice that how his position, affected by his promotion, it ended up inflaming his pride. His pride. Guys, you know, it's easy to draw poor pictures of Peter. You know, and I've always said this, we're more like Peter than we ever will be, Paul. Peter was always opening his mouth, sticking his foot in it. He constantly was doing things. But I do want us to understand that Peter's intentions were always sound. Peter never meant any ill will or any ill intentions. Peter never, I mean, he was never being deceptive in his life or trying to beguile someone. Or even for that matter, he wasn't intending on being prideful. But we can see how a man, when he's not prepared for promotion, pride can get the better part of him. And for this, guys, we go back to the book of Mark. And I want you to see this event here. Now, keep in your mind what had happened in Matthew 16, because we're going to revisit that for just a second here in a little while. But in Mark chapter 14, the Bible says here, this is the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He says here, "And Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." Now, Jesus Christ is quoting an Old Testament scripture from Zechariah 13 and verse 7, where it says, "Awake, O sword, against my sheep, my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." So we're going to read on in Mark 14, but I want you to keep in mind, Jesus Christ is quoting an Old Testament prophecy, okay? An Old Testament scripture. He's saying this is what's supposed to happen, and all of you, every one of you, are going to be offended this night because of what happens to me. Look at Mark 14 with me. Again, we get into the next two verses, verses 28-29. He says, "But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." This is Jesus Christ. Now watch the next statement. But Peter said unto him, "Although all shall be offended, yet will I not." Now I want you to stop and take this in for a second. The three things that we've seen thus far is we saw that Peter was promoted. He had his promotion. He was granted a higher position than all of them. And because of that promotion, he was not ready for promotion. He cannot handle promotion. He couldn't handle the position. He wasn't ready for it. His pride began to step in. Okay? This is the night in which Jesus is betrayed. This is the very night Jesus Christ is arrested and sentenced to death. That's what this is. And I want you to keep in mind, the Lord Jesus Christ just quoted a prophecy. All of the Jews knew that it was a prophecy. Okay? None of them had been wrong yet. Jesus Christ, who has not been incorrect about anything in his entire life on earth, much less his 3-year public ministry, of which Peter was witness to every single drop, now has the audacity to tell the Messiah, the creator of all things, the one who has brought the dead back to life, the blind to see, the paralytic to walk, the dumb to hear, the dumb to speak, and the deaf to hear. He's done all those things in the eyes of Peter. And he says, "All you guys are going to be offended at what happens tonight." He goes, "Nope, not me. Not going to happen. I know you walk on water. I know you can heal the dead. But what you're saying, not going to happen, Lord." The night he's betrayed now. Think about this for a second. Read on, Mark chapter 14, verses 30 and 31. "And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee," he's speaking to Peter now, "that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." You're going to deny. You're not only going to get offended, Peter, but you're going to deny me. Verse 31, "But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." So the Lord tells this bird, man, that you are going to deny me tonight. You're going to be offended tonight. And he goes, "Nope. All these other clowns, all these other guys around here, they may be offended. All these other ones here, they may get upset. All these around here, they may..." Not me, I'm Peter. I got the keys of the kingdom in my pocket, right? I'm the man. You gave me a new name written on. Nope, not me. I'm better than all of they. I don't know about you guys, but if I saw somebody walk on water, I'd love to think within myself that if he tells me something, it's going to be true. You see, beloved, Peter doubled down on it. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he spoke the more vehemently, which means that he spoke over and above, more than necessary. I mean, he's been out of shape. He's saying, "Ain't no way, no how, Lord, you're wrong." So back to the event where Peter received his position. Remember, we went from promotion to position. Now we're in the midst of the pride. About 2 weeks before this happens, 2 weeks before the Lord, he's telling the Lord vehemently, it ain't going to happen. Something else happened in Peter's life. You know, right on the backside of when he says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, right on the backside when he said over there, he said, you know what, man? He says, my Father in heaven has revealed it unto you. You confess who I am because my Father in heaven revealed it unto you. Big compliment from the Lord, right? Back in Matthew 16. So this is what we find that happens. Same topic comes up. Matthew 16 now, verses 20 and 23, then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him. Now get this picture with me. Same conversation 2 weeks before. All right? Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned, speaking about Jesus, and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, he gave him the keys of the kingdom. He just told him, my Father revealed this unto you in heaven. And now Peter's acting so stupid, the Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. He says, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Just in the midst of the compliment, he just got the position on the backside of a promotion, and that pride started kicking in. He gets called the devil, man. I mean, it don't get much worse than that if you want to know the truth. So I want you, it's the same conversation. Notice with me in this verse, the Lord began to show them unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, priests, scribes, and be killed. And then be raised again the third day. Right? We saw the same thing, didn't we, in Mark 14. We saw it in Mark 14 when he was telling him, he says, verily I say unto thee, you're going to deny me. We saw in Mark 14 that when he quoted Zechariah 13:7, the Lord says, but after that I am risen, I will go before you in Galilee. But Peter said to him, although you be fitted, I won't be. Remember last week, in the midst of last week's sermon, we were talking about, you know, we're doing this character sermons, and we were on Elijah last week. And the one point last week with the three subpoints, the one was commitment, right? Being committed. And Elijah's commitment to God helped him in his confidence. We saw that. But then what was that third point? Do you remember it? Communication. Remember when we talked about communication, we said there's always those people in the midst of communicating. They're poor communicators. Communication is a two-way street. It is speaking, but it's most often in listening. Lord gave us 2 ears, 1 mouth. We should listen twice as much as we speak. Amen? So, we talked about last week, remember, there's the over-relators. There's the toppers, you know. I had 10 touchdowns. Oh, I had 20, you know. I did this. The toppers, you know. Those kind of people that are poor communicators who have a very lack of confidence as a result of a lack of commitment, when you're speaking, about 3 words into that sentence, you know what they're thinking about? What they're going to say to top your story. The Lord has told these clowns twice at least that we're talking about tonight, I'm going to come back alive in 3 days. Peter wasn't hearing that, was he? Peter says, I ain't going to be offended. Not me. I'm not going to deny you. You're crazy. That's not going to. The Lord said, I'm going to be killed, but I'm going to come back. It wasn't until after the resurrection that it was brought back to their mind that now they remembered the words that the Lord had spake. See, my friend, pride, position, promotion. We know in Peter's life how it all plays out. This is the backstory of John 21. This is why John 21 is so important. This is why the Lord's going, Simon, son of Bar-Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, you know I love you. This is why we know that the two different Greek words are being used. You see, Peter, we know, denied Jesus Christ. We see that in Matthew 26, verse 74. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. The result of him denying Jesus Christ was the loss of his discipleship. He was in the inner three, but he lost his position and his promotion for a little while. Remember in the garden too, Mary was told, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. You see, he's out of the loop. His punishment was the loss of his discipleship. So back in John 21, what's the Lord calling Peter now? The Lord's referring to him as Simon. Remember, his name was surnamed Peter that God gave him, the Lord gave him. He's given him his old name. Why do you think that he's talking to him and speaking to him by his old name? I mean, this is a week after the Lord showed himself the second time to the disciples. We find those two visitations, they're separated by 8 days. We don't hear Peter saying a word. That's rare. Because every time Peter was present, he was saying something. Here's what we do find back in John 21. Bible says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. You know what they said? We be going too. You see, Peter lost his discipleship. Peter lost his position because of his pride. His promotion got the best of him. He wasn't cut out for promotion. But all those men still looked at him. And when Peter said, I'm going, Peter hadn't fished in 3 years. Peter hadn't fished in 3 years. After denying the Lord 3 times, losing his discipleship, what does Peter do? He went back to his old life. Went back to his old ways. Went back to his old work. And guys, I'm going to ask you this question tonight. When we drop the ball, when we do something stupid, when we act a fool, we start looking back at that old walk, that old man, those old days, how we used to handle things back in the day. You see, the Lord shows up that night. They're out there fishing. He tells them to cast on the right side. They end up catching 153 fish. We know that. And then John leans over to old Peter and he says, that's the Lord. Peter grabs his coat, jumps in the water. He was ashamed because he was naked out there. They had dinner on the seashore there. And we pick back up in our opening verses tonight, as I'd mentioned before. And we find the Lord is calling him Simon instead of Peter because he's acting like his old self. And we all, I'm going to say we're all guilty of that. I'm not saying it's right, wrong, whatever it is. I know when we mess up, it's easier to revert. Listen, a lazy mind and a limited mind when it comes to promotion is always going to revert back to who they used to be if they don't have some type of repentative change in their life. So in our text verses here, John 21, verses 15 through 17, the Bible says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than thee? And he saith, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And he saith unto him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Remember those two different words that's used in the Bible for love, those two different Greek words? One is phileo, and this is the love that you would have for friends, you approve or to sanction, quite fond of. I just like you a whole lot. That's what that means. And then there's agape, that sacrificial love, same word that we see is translated in 1 Corinthians 13, the same love the Lord used in John chapter 15. But we get back in John 21, and we find that within this conversation, both words are used. So in John 21, verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You know what that word lovest is? That's agape. The Lord is saying, Peter, do you love me sacrificially more than these guys? But here's the answer. Lord, thou knowest I love thee. That's phileo. Lord, you know I just like you a whole lot. Lord, you know I'm just fond of you. Question goes on again. He says, saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Again, agape. Sacrificial love. Do you love me sacrificially now? Same answer. Simon, son of, he says, he saith, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Phileo. You know I'm just quite fond of you, Lord. And now here's the difference in verse 17. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Guess what the Lord did? Notice the color? Do you phileo me? You just like me a whole lot, Peter. This is why Peter's grieved. So the Lord exposed him. You see, he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and knowest that I love you. And Jesus said, just feed my lamb, feed my sheep. So twice the Lord uses agape. Third time he comes back in, he says, Peter, do you just like me a whole lot? You see, now, if Peter was grieved because the Lord finally made him confess what his true and real feelings were, Peter had now learned the lesson. If the Lord would have asked Peter this question back in, say, Mark 14, back in the night where Jesus was betrayed, when he says, there ain't no way I'm going to deny you, Lord. I'll die with you, Lord. I'll do this and that and everything else. You know what the Lord would have said? Man, you know I agape love you. I'll die for you. Matter of fact, he already said it in Matthew 16. Hey, I'll die, but I'm not going to be offended. And we saw how that ended up. If the Lord would have asked him these questions in Matthew 16, would have been the same answer. But now the truth is out. Peter's exposed that he only likes the Lord deeply. There is no sacrificial love there, not yet in Peter's life. My love for the Lord was only phileo, Peter was saying. So I'm asking you this question as we opened up tonight. What's love got to do with it? It's got everything to do with it. It's got absolutely everything to do with it tonight. See, the question for us this evening, how we apply it into our life, is what are we willing to sacrifice in our life for the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us? Again, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. You know, God committed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sacrificial love. What comes in between you and your love for Christ? If the Lord came down to you tonight, and I'll give you that question tonight, what love do we have for the Lord? Is it just a strong like? Are we just quite fond of him? Do we just enjoy his blessings that he gives us in our life? And man, we just want all the, you know, we want all the desserts, we want all the cotton candy and the rainbows and unicorn, that we want all that. Or are we willing tonight to give up everything and to love the Lord sacrificially just as he has loved us? That's what love has to do with it. It has everything to do with it. And there's a grave difference this evening in liking the Lord fondly and loving him sacrificially. That's the challenge for us this week. That's the challenge for us tonight, to examine our own hearts. Ask ourselves, what are we willing to remove in our life that our true love for the Lord Jesus Christ would be known? We bow our heads tonight. Father, thank you tonight for allowing us to be together. We thank you, Father, for the message, the thought this evening. I pray that you bless us in our closing song. As we dismiss with announcements, Father, here in just a little while, I do pray that you would touch us, guide us by your loving hand of grace. Lord, I pray that we would take the events of this evening as we see this conversation and how it's played out in John 21, and in reality, help us kind of stand in Peter's shoes. Help us stand in his place as the Lord is asking that question, lovest thou me more than these? And how do we answer it? Do we just have a filial love? Do we have just a love that is strong and fond, or do we have a sacrificial love willing to give it up all for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? So we ask all these things in his precious name this evening. Amen and amen. Do hope and pray that the preaching